It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 182 of Radio TCX, your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy. I'm Tim Dugan, and as always, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Carson Ray.
Hello, everyone. It's a great day to talk about X-Wing.
And John McDermott.
Hello.
And this week, we're focusing all on Worlds hype. We're a little less than a month away from the first X-Wing 2nd Edition World Championship. It's going to make for a great week of X-Wing. We're really excited for this at the Roy Wilkins Auditorium in St. Paul, Minnesota. And we're just going to focus a little bit on our anticipation for that event.
Right. Well, no one really cares about, you know, the status of being the world champion. It's all about what sort of swag you can win. so we finally got the prize article. So I think it's time to finally discuss this.
Yeah, we're going to dive deep into this and all the stuff you're going to get by going to what we've dubbed as FFGCon, a.k.a. the X-Wing World Championship. So let's jump into it.
The World Championship is just really a great way to celebrate X-Wing. You have players traveling from all over the world, all gathering in Minnesota and, you know, just hanging out for the week and playing X-Wing. Always a great time. And so this being the first year for 2nd Edition, you know, the format's, you know, being shaken up a bit, the prize structure's changing a bit. I think it'll be pretty exciting moving forward.
Yeah, and there's some cool stuff. This not only being the first year of X-Wing 2nd Edition Worlds, they've shifted the location of X-Wing Worlds now, so it's no longer taking place at the Fantasy Flight Game Center in Roseville. They moved it over to a larger venue, the River Center in St. Paul, specifically the Roy Wilkins Auditorium. So this will be a venue to accommodate all of us X-Wing players for not only the main events and qualifiers, but also a bunch of side events. And they're playing Star Wars Destiny or something off on the side tables. Don't care much about that. But it's looking like it's going to be a great event. And there's a lot of stuff going on here. We finally actually have a schedule, too, for the event. So a better idea of what this event's going to look like. For those of us like me who didn't actually qualify for the main two day one events, I have to participate in that last chance qualifier on Wednesday. So that's one more opportunity for those of us who didn't get an official invite to be able to make that day 1A or day 1B competition.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of initial dismay from a lot of people that have attended Worlds in the past, because in the past you could just get a ticket by button mashing or entering a raffle and hoping you get a ticket. So I think a couple months ago they announced that last chance qualifier, which they have 400 seats for, and the top 64 players at that tournament will get an invite to one of the qualifying Worlds days.
Well, John, I'm going to push back a little bit there because I think people who, you know, have to travel a bit to go to Worlds don't just have to walk out their front door and get there. You know, being able to know ahead of time with that invite, I think, has enabled a lot of people to travel more this year than normally could, because previously they hadn't really gotten much heads up, especially for international travel plans. You know, for the Minnesota people, that's a little tough, but that's what the Wednesday qualifier events for, right?
And I mean, it'll be a little tricky. I think Minnesota X-Wing players are a little bit privileged in that it's not a huge effort for us to go out just for the last chance qualifier. It was probably a little bit harder of a sell for people who, you know, if you lose the last chance qualifier, you're not going to be able to play in any of the main events. But you still get to participate in all the side events, the 2020 qualifier for next Worlds. So there's still a lot of cool stuff to do. And actually, Minneapolis is a pretty cool place to be. Hopefully there won't be any snow on the ground, fingers crossed, come mid-October. But, you know, it's a great time to be able to participate in FFGCon. We also see on that Wednesday, too, the Coruscant Invitational will be happening. So any players who are out early, a day early before the main event starts, be able to watch the cool stuff being displayed there. We did get some more info, though, on the two Day 1A like primary qualifiers for the cut. There's the Day 1A and Day 1B happen on Thursday and Friday, respectively, and we now know that they're going to be 7 rounds of Swiss, 75-minute rounds, of course, and everyone who ends the day with an X and 2 record or better is going to make that Day 2 cut.
Yeah, 7 rounds, that's a lot of rounds in one day.
it's so many.
You know, we definitely saw that at Gen Con. We were all fried by the end of those 7-round days.
It's a little not as harsh, actually, as the cut at Gen Con, though. Gen Con was 7 rounds, and you had to be X and 1 or better, so you can only lose 1 out of the 7 rounds. Here you can lose 2, There's a good argument to be made that the field might be a little bit tougher since, you know, everyone who, for the most part, most of the players playing in this event will have qualified by doing well at another large event. So it'll be a tough field, but you can lose two games and still make the day two single elimination cut.
Right. No, seven rounds with X and two progressing, that feels really good. You know, you still have to do pretty well to advance, but there's a little room for forgiveness.
Yeah, but even the removal of some of that mental strain can make your day go a lot smoother.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, if you get one loss, you're not suddenly on the edge like you were, Carson. Though maybe that's, I guess, where you play best. That's where you played best.
I know. Maybe I need to put my back to the wall and just take those two losses right off the bat.
And then win out the rest. That's Carson's methodology.
But, you know, with, you know, Thursday, we have seven rounds. X and twos progress. Friday, same thing again. Seven rounds, X and twos progress. And then all of those X and twos or better are going to play single elimination on Saturday, which that will be pretty tough because that's going to be a lot of players in a big single elimination bracket. Everybody there has got their back to the wall, right? You can't lose anything and you're going to have to win a lot of games in a row.
Yeah, it seems like it almost favors a little bit to the players who do go X and two, because then when you go to single elimination, you might just get some favorable pairings early on. So even if you go undefeated the days before, if you get a really unfavorable pairing, that's pretty rough in single elimination brackets. One thing I'm a little curious about is how many they're actually expecting to move on from days 1A and day 1B. Because, you know, if it's a, I don't know, a 200 person field, and I guess that would probably be a low estimate for day 1A and day 1B each. I think that's something like a total of 90 players at X and 2 would advance to Saturday. And then if it's any bigger than that, it could be a massive single elimination cut. It doesn't look like they have any room there to add more Swiss rounds.
Right. Like, I'd much rather have two more Swiss rounds on Saturday and then go to a cut. But that doesn't quite seem to be what they're doing. So we'll see how that works out this year.
Yeah, I guess this is going to be an experimental first year, so we'll be able to see how that actually plays out and also, you know, the fan response to it.
Right. I mean, so this bracket might be massive, but, you know, single elimination, it will cut down pretty quickly until we finally get our world champion, which will be pretty exciting. You know, whoever does survive that crazy bracket on day two, you know, that'll be a huge effort and I think well-earning of the world champion title.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Simeon Della Pina has a certain honor being the last X-Wing 1.0 champion. You can imagine that, you know, the honor will be like threefold for the first second edition champion.
And we've gotten a look at prizes for participation and for some of the top cuts, but we don't, I think, have the full information for what the winner of Worlds this year will get. So in the past, the winner's been able to help design a card for a future expansion. I'm sure there'll be some sort of invite for the following mm-hmm. year involved, but there might be some other undiscovered goodies for that winner.
And yeah, and I wanted to get to the conversation about prizes today, because actually I think they've done a really good job here with a lot of the prizes they're giving out at Worlds. There's really not anything on this list that I'm not excited about. And you know, even participation in the two day 1A and day 1B events gets you some pretty cool stuff. Right off the bat, every participant in those main events will get an alternate paint scheme and punch board for a Plo Koon model in the other sprite.
Yeah, this Plo Koon is awesome. You get, you know, repainted Aether Sprite. You know, we saw this with a Vulture Droid at Adepticon. This paint job looks a lot better. I probably could have done the Adepticon Vulture. This Plo Koon, I think, is a little past my painting skills, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
But then you also just get all of this alternate punch board for the ship. So, you know, the cardboard you put on the base, that's going to be Plo Koon themed. The dial for the ship, Plo Koon theme. His target locks, Plo Koon theme. Really cool. And then you get a bunch of other cards. You know, you get Plo Koon, a Delta 7B, Battle Meditation, Calibrated Laser Targeting. So it's all Plo Koon theme, and it's awesome.
I'm hoping this starts a trend here for other major level events. Hopefully not just Worlds even. Like, it'd be cool to see stuff like this at Continentals. We've started to see a lot more, an increase in like faction-specific stuff, but it would be awesome to get exclusive models for participating or performing well at tournaments. They've done a little bit of experimentation with releasing models for sale at like Adepticon that were exclusive to the convention, but I actually like it more if it's, you know, included in the participation. That way you're not just getting a bunch of resellers and whatnot trying to get these exclusive models. They become more of a fun...
I totally agree.
Yeah, more of a fun status symbol for X-Wing players who, you know, took part in these big events.
Right. I mean, you took the effort to travel to these conventions. Like, it's cool to get a really unique reward. And this is definitely it.
We're also seeing, again, like we saw at some of the other major level events, we're getting faction-specific prizes here. So just by participating in Day 1A or B, you're going to get some 3 copies of alt art cards, depending on your faction. The examples they gave were like Trade Federation Drone, Delta Squadron Pilot, Contracted Scout, some generic that's a part of your faction. Those will only be available to players who play that faction on Day 1, or if you make Day 2, you get some copies as well, I believe.
Right, and then continuing on with more faction-specific prizes on your qualifier day, if you make the top 8 of your faction, then you get 3 faction-themed dial covers of those same sort of ships. So there's like a Contracted Scout or the, you know, an Aether Sprite or TIE Defender. So these are all really cool. You know, we saw these at Gen Con. They're awesome. And, you know, if you keep playing the same faction, you can have really cool squads with a lot of bling on them. You know, each of your ships has its own cool dial. I'm really liking the direction these faction prizes are going.
And it's cool, too, because it promotes playing on, even if you're not having a great track record. You might not make the top cuts or, you know, make Day 2, but if you still do best in your faction, then you can still get some really sweet prizes out of it.
Looking at you, Rebel players.
Or I'm looking at you, you know, Paul Nelson, Minnesota player. He actually earned top 4 as soon as he participated in his event back at Gen Con. So, you know, if you're playing a less desirable faction.
Well, I think the secret's out. I think right people away. Are realizing that Separatists are actually pretty good now. I don't know if you'll be able to get away with that anymore.
Not this time. You also, the top player in each faction, gets a special template tray. Also really cool to have as an exclusive for performing the best in your faction. Before we get too
far, these are pretty cool.
Yeah, before we go like too far into the other prizes too, I wanted to ask you guys, are you a big fan of the faction specific prizes? Is this where you'd like to see the game go for grand level and higher events in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it really gives each player a lot more sense of accomplishment, because you can have these kind of go down to a lot more players, because yes, it's a top 8, but top 8 per faction means a lot more players, you know, get cool stuff. And it's still a pretty good status symbol. And I think, you know, it gives people more of a player identity. Like, okay, now there's more reasons to commit to a faction.
Right, because you can get a collection of all that faction's prizes.
You know, like competitive players like you and I, like we kind of become faction agnostic, where it's like, you know, whatever looks the best right now, that's what I'll play. But, you know, now I have some of those Republic dial covers and it's like, well, maybe I should play Republic again at Worlds, because I got to start building up that collection.
And I feel like, too, it kind of takes some of the pressure off maybe flying the most competitive list. You can find a balance between what's good and what you have fun with within your faction, and have a pretty decent chance, I think, of getting within whatever that quota is to get the faction-specific prizes. So I think that offers a really unique opportunity to players kind of as the meta evolves. To find that balance between what's fun and what's good.
Well, and I'm actually kind of a fan, too, of it being more difficult to collect a complete set of all the, you know, promotional cards you could get in an event. Now that they're faction-specific, you know, unless you're performing really well and you make that Day 2 and get basically one of each, it's a lot harder to maintain a collection, which for people who collect, obviously, that's a lot more, you know, you have to invest in trying to track down copies of all these cards. But it also makes them feel more exclusive, right? Like, if we all get the same promotional card at a big event, all right, that's just a few hundred players who all have an alternate art Boba Fett or something. Now, if you want to collect a full set, you have to work a lot harder, but having that collection means a little bit more. You know, it's a little more fun, especially if, you know, aren't necessarily going to use all these cards in your squads.
Right. Well, and like it also creates the opportunity to, you know, trade these cards around with other players. You know, like, oh, you know, we get 3 copies of these alt arts. Maybe I only need 2. So I can trade one of my contracted scouts. Gosh, I trade all of those away, but you know, and mix it up and get some things from other factions. I think that's really cool too.
All right, so it sounds like we're all agreed. Hopefully FFG's listening to us and we get, you know, more of this faction specific stuff. But you know, beyond the faction specific stuff, lots of great prizes also for if you make the top 64 per those day one flights. So day one A and day one B, the top 64 players, regardless of faction, will get a set of silver and green focus and evade tokens, exclusive to being top 64 per day. And then top 32, you'll get a set of black and red worlds 2020 range rulers.
I think the verdict is out for me on these prizes, just because we have the promotional image from the article that was released a couple days ago with these images. And kind of based on some of the past images we've seen versus the prizes that we actually get in person. I haven't been too disappointed so far, but it's hard to do like a 3D graphic render of an acrylic token. So I think once we see them in person, my excitement will either go up or down accordingly.
I think for me, the focus and evades, that's pretty cool. I mean, you use focus and evades on, you know, basically any list, and having some pretty cool exclusive ones, I think will be pretty sweet. The range rulers, I'm not as excited about. Just kind of their print quality on range rulers and templates have been kind of low lately.
Not been great, yeah.
And so like, if it's going to be the ones that are going to scratch off easily, I'd rather have the ones with the cool art, you know, like we saw at the system opens or previous Gen Cons.
I mean, I certainly don't know much about acrylic working with it, but I mean, maybe if they're like the not transparent acrylic, if they're just matte or, you know, opaque or whatever, then maybe the paint quality would be better. I don't know. Guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm going to wait until we actually see these in hand or in the display case at Worlds, because I think there's a huge variance in what they display on the articles and like how they actually look and how cool they are.
That's absolutely true.
Looking to day two, though, once players have gotten with that XM2 cut or better into day two, they're each going to get a copy of each of the faction-specific extended arts from day one. So you'll have your three copies of whatever your faction was from day one, plus then one of each for day two. So if you're a serious collector, you get rewarded for playing well and making that day two cut, where you don't have to spend a bunch of money or trade a bunch of promos away to get, you know, each of the extended arts. You'll also get a exclusive damage deck, which is something we're seeing Fantasy Flight do more and more of. Is this time top 32 players overall on day two will get a Plo Koon themed damage deck.
It's all Plo Koon themed, and it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. I think, you know, most of the prizes we get to the top aren't that great, which I actually kind of like. I kind of like that. I think the best prize is that participation prize, that sweet Plo Koon model and all the cards that go with it, and then your faction specific prizes. And you know, and getting more copies is great, you know, of the other factions as you advance. You know, there's gonna be a lot of players that do pretty well, you know, make it to that day two, but then there's gonna be like 100 of them, and most of them aren't getting that Plo Koon damage deck. And I think that's okay. I think, you know, having really good prizes at the bottom, I think that's going to make every player, you know, walk away from Worlds with some pretty good stuff.
And that was one of the things I always enjoyed about the previous Worlds too, was that no matter how, you know, kind of bad or good you did, you ended up walking away with some cool swag, even for just participating. So I think that really ups the ante for people to try and get invites and, you know, go to the last chance qualifier just to get in and even get the participation prizes.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of damage decks in general as prizes, because I like alternate art cards, but one of the problems I've always had with alternate art cards is usually I'd get them and they were often for ships I'm not going to run anyway. The cool thing about alternate damage decks is that those are usable and like I can swap them out at will, and since they're only kind of an aesthetic change or a status symbol now, it's more fun. Like, I'm more likely to try out different damage decks than I am to like run squads based solely on the fact that I have promos for them.
Right. You always use a damage deck, you know, every game.
You don't always use the same ships, even in a faction. We also see in top 16, you're going to get a set of maneuver templates, which that seems to be a pretty standard prize for doing well in an X-Wing event. And much like Gen Con, they're going to have some unique named extended art pilot cards for each faction. So if you make top 16 overall, you'll get one of these seven cards: Kylo, DFS 311, Dengar, Countess Riad, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Braylon Strom, and Kari Koon. But also the top 16 per faction overall will be able to get a copy of their faction's card.
And then even cooler, going on to the top eight, each participant in the top eight will get one of each faction-specific dial cover, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, those are just the same dial covers that we'll see top eight per faction per flight. They get three copies. If you make top eight overall, though, you get one of each, so you can have the full collection. And then we get down to the world champion and the finalist, which is a huge status symbol in X-Wing, even to be the finalist or the world champion. So far, all we know is there's going to be some kind of trophy. We're not sure what any other prizes there are going to be. Hopefully, there's a little bit more for winning the event overall, because that's a pretty tough feat.
Right. So overall, you know, quite a bit of prizes for worlds. There's also going to be prize wall. You're going to earn tickets. So they might have some stuff that we haven't even seen there, or just a chance to earn older prizes from other events. That's things they've done before. One big omission here is, you know, every year before they've had really cool looking dice, either top 32 or top 16. You know, there's the old gold and silvers, or the ones with a little bit of silver mixed in that makes the attack dice look pink. That is not going to be a thing, which for me, I'm just a dice hungry fiend. and that's the prize I'm always chasing. So I'm a little sad to see that, but you know, it's a new game. We're restructuring it just because they've done it before. Doesn't mean it'll be there again.
I mean, and this is one of the bigger prize changes that we're seeing. Dice and X-Wing have always been interesting because it is one of the components that you can't just, you know, you can't get a third-party dice. That's not X-Wing legal. So it's always been a little bit more of a status symbol in X-Wing. And a lot of times they were pretty hard to acquire. I remember, I think it was the 2016 regional season. I was really chasing after dice, and you had to make top eight, which oftentimes at those bigger events was pretty tough to do. And I apparently only played at bigger events. So when I actually got my first set of those, it was a pretty big accomplishment for me. And then I've been chasing after Worlds Dice ever since, but I'm always just missing the cut on those by a little margin. So it's interesting to see we've gotten new dice for the hyperspace trial season, the black dice with the red and green symbols for attack and evade. I'm interested to see if they continue this trend too of putting the dice prizes more at the kind of regional level and shifting that away from the world champion level.
I mean, I really like having the dice at the regional level. You know, that makes that accessible to a lot more players. I just also liked having these extra secret, very exclusive dice. I wanted both.
Well, and there's still time. They might announce some. You know, they might just pull them out at the tournament itself and say, hey, look, cool extra prize that we didn't announce beforehand. So, I mean, that'd be cool too.
Seems unlikely, but
I'm just trying to stay optimistic, Carson.
I'll still dream.
How would you guys feel about World's Champion and World's Finalist exclusive dice so that there's only two sets in the world for the top players?
That I'd be okay with.
I'm in. That sounds good.
That seems pretty cool, right? Yeah. Hopefully they'd give us a set of six, though, six of each. It would be kind of lame to get 4 and 4.
Yeah, so after you have the qualifying days and that final elimination bracket on Saturday, on Sunday they're doing the 2020 Worlds Qualifier tournament, which is kind of like the way the hyperspace qualifiers have been at like the System Open Series. It's going to be 5 75-minute rounds extended, and the top 16 people after that tournament will get an invite to the 2020 Worlds.
Yeah, so this will be an interesting event. It'll be nice, man. If you make top 16 at this, then you have a full year that you know you already qualified for Worlds. That'll be pretty comforting, I think. But
you can just coast.
Yeah. Senior
try out all your fun lists and don't actually prepare. Yep. And that would also be tough, though, right? Because the game can change a lot along the way between, you know, a full year means a lot of releases, a lot of new cards, a lot of point changes. But it's cool to see that event, and it's only 5 rounds, which is a pretty reasonable amount of X-Wing to do in one day.
Right. Everyone's got to fly back anyway at some point, so.
Yeah, we've already taken so much time off
of this. Finish all 5 rounds. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, guys, I'm pretty hyped for these prizes, and I'm getting more and more excited for Worlds all the time. This is probably the Worlds I'm most excited for in my X-Wing career.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I missed last year, so I'm really excited to go again this year.
I'm pretty excited, too, because the new wave of ships is going to be legal for this Worlds, too.
Oh, that makes me nervous.
Big meta shakeup, maybe, right before Worlds, which might, hopefully there's nothing broken in the new wave. If there's not, it'll be a pretty interesting environment where, you know, players have to actually adapt in short order to new ships being released. If there is anything broken, it makes me a little wary, but you know, we'll have to just see. I'll try to stay optimistic.
Do you think they would do an emergency points change before Worlds?
Oh, if there was something really bad, I think they would. You know, like something on the realm of 3 upsilons, how those were kind of problematic before. If there was anything to that extreme, I think they would, even just like a week or two before the event, change things. I'm hoping that they're going to be extra cautious on the points, though, for the new release. I'd rather, if there's going to be a new release, I'd rather they go a little more cautious on it, just not to upset the environment too much before Worlds.
Okay, so here's a question. Kind of piggies off that, but then also just the prizes we've talked about. You know, it looks like we have a pretty diverse metagame right now.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You know, all these big events, though, you know, that have been extended have had faction-specific prizes. And so do you guys think that that's, you know, creating a metagame that's maybe not as diverse as it should be? You know, maybe people are playing lists that aren't as good just because they, you know, they want their faction specific prizes. And really more people should be playing Jedi regen and Imperial Lambda lists.
Okay. Yeah. So that's an interesting question. You know, because like the first thing I think about with that is most of the time metagames are kind of decided by how the game's designed, especially point costing in X-Wing. That's really what shapes a lot of the metagame. So that's usually game focused, right? So whichever faction you think will perform the best or has the best archetype or best value, if you do faction specific prizes, if those actually affect what people bring, that's kind of a weird artificial way to, you know, diversify the metagame. And this is pretty recent, right? Because we didn't see that. Was Gen Con the first event that had faction-specific prizes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So,
and then we had Nova shortly after that.
Yeah, and I mean, at Gen Con, we actually did have a fairly diverse field. You know, looking at the numbers there, obviously there were some factions that people tended towards, but we saw a representation from, you know, decent representation from almost every faction, short of Separatists at the time.
Yeah, I think it's done really healthy things for the metagame, and it promotes, like I've said this before too, it promotes, you know, playing on even if you're not performing super well for, you know, the cut type stuff. You know, you get your top in faction and get cool prizes, which feels really good for players that don't necessarily perform well. You still get some benefit out of it, and I think it's just promoting a lot more diversity for the game, which I think, you know, as a player, I enjoy seeing, and I can only imagine, you know, as a developer, seeing all the different things that you've come up with played on the table, which is not something that happened a lot in first edition. So I think it's really good.
So, John, you actually do think it's affecting it in, you know, a meaningful competitive way? Do you think there are people kind of on the upper tiers of competitive play who are actively choosing suboptimal factions just for prize support?
I mean, not necessarily.
I think yes. I think at the highest level, no, but I think there's a lot of players who, you know, you're deciding between two lists and you're going to err on the one that you think has the cooler faction prizes. I think that's pretty real. And I think a lot of people also think that, you know what, I might not make top 8 overall, but, you know, I think I have a shot at making top 8 in my faction. And so I'll, you know, play the best thing I can play in my faction.
See, that's a hard sell to me, though, because like that's not a consideration that's in my mind at all for Worlds. As much as I like the prizes, I would not alter what squad I'm going to bring or, you know, what faction I'm going to bring to get a specific alternate art or just for the chance of getting top 8 if I don't think I'm going to make top cut.
So for Gen Con that had faction-specific prizes, that did not play into my list decision at all. Actually, Republic would have chased me away from that because I'd have a lower chance of getting those Republic prizes.
Right.
But I thought it was the best list to win the event. That being said, for the Worlds prizes, I, you know, was considering Scum, but I really, you know, the Jumpmaster does nothing for me. And so that being the faction specific prize means I'm really not interested in looking at Scum for Worlds.
So wait, so you're actually deterred from a faction based on prize support. You're not drawn to one, you're saying.
Right.
Oh, man.
So I'm kind of in both camps, which means I expect that it affects a lot of players.
So I could see, you know, if I was right on the line between two different lists, like in separate factions that I perceived as having kind of equivalent value, I could see making maybe the tiebreaker be that. If it, otherwise, it's going to be kind of arbitrary. But I would never really even take it into like secondary consideration prize support to pick what faction I run at a high level event.
No, I would still pick the one I felt the most comfortable with.
Now, I do think, I guess it makes for more interesting Swiss rounds, because I can imagine a lot of people, especially at these conventions where they're not necessarily the ultra dedicated X-Wing players, they're just kind of, you know, intermediate players or players who really just love the game. They don't expect to make those top cuts. I could definitely see it affecting the Swiss rounds there, so you could expect a lot more diversity in Swiss. But I can't see having faction-specific prizes having a meaningful impact on what the final cuts are going to be. You know, beyond maybe one faction gets a little more representation than it ought to.
I think I disagree. I think it does influence people's decisions a decent amount. I mean, they're still going to fly something solid, but I think it makes people look to those other factions. Okay, you know, I know there's some really strong Republic lists, but, you know, what can I find in Rebels? What can I find in First Order, right?
I guess I can see that.
You're still going to want to bring a strong squad, but it does incentivize people to look for other options. Which, you know, maybe that's, you know, maybe they were good always, but it, you needed that motivation to solve it and not be lazy and just take the Jedi. But I think at the end of the day, does it matter? Like, if we get a diverse format, does it matter how we got there?
Sure. Well, I think the real interesting test will be if this does become the standard for high-level events, and then we see a shift in the metagame where one faction is clearly at an advantage against most other factions, like we've seen in past X-Wing metagames, that'll be the real test, right? Where if we get to a point where, you know, Republic or Imperials are clearly the, you know, best value based on point adjustments or new releases, it'll be interesting to see if we still see a pretty wide faction diversity that we could attribute to just varied prize support. But Carson, since you're disagreeing with me, I'm going to have to kick you off the show.
All right, that's fine.
You had a good run.
We were about out of time anyway.
All right, so we got some serious Worlds hype going on. I think in the next week or two, we'll probably get a little bit more into our Worlds prep and what you should be looking out for in the future. So stay tuned for those episodes. We are actually hoping to do at least some live streaming from Worlds. So I'm not sure what days or in what capacity, since we're actually all playing in Worlds. I'm hoping to make it past the last chance qualifier, but we'll see. If I don't succeed at that, we'll probably stream more days than we don't. But stay tuned to that. We'll hopefully have some more details here for you in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I got to figure out what my Worlds prep is going to be, but then definitely happy to share it.
You've just been coasting since your Gen Con victory.
That's right. I need to start kicking it into serious gear pretty soon here.
Cue Eye of the Tiger Rocky montage.
Oh, an X-Wing montage would be so boring to watch.
I think we could stylize it. You know, I guess you'd probably play Danger Zone instead of Eye of the Tiger, right?
Oh, didn't they have that? The World of Warcraft montage on South Park. A lot like that.
I think it would be worse than that for X-Wing, but
it would just be a bunch of stills of ships. Nothing would be happening.
Just sets a dial to a Q-bank, thinks for a second, makes it a two-turn.
I like the black and white, just putting templates down and moving ships. That would be a great part of the montage. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show and our inane chatter about montages in X-Wing, please go onto our Facebook page and like our Facebook page. It only takes a second and it means a lot to us and helps us, you know, reach a wider audience and let people know you like the show.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really like listening, consider going on iTunes and leaving the podcast a 5-star review saying why you like the show and why you think others should listen.
Yeah, your reviews have really helped us reach a larger audience, so thank you. If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
Again, folks, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, so there's not the blue bar that's going. It's just like the red line is moving. Is that right? I see the green bar moves when I talk, but I don't see, there's not like the bar of like the audio file showing up. Okay. Oh, and then pick the microphone. Okay. Oh, now it's working. Weird. I don't know why I didn't do that. This is fun.